This week's parsha starts at a very particular point. And essentially what we had is that we had I would say it's almost a roller coaster in terms of the Jewish people being low and then expectations and then coming down again. And the truth is that Moshe's distraught. Moshe's distraught because he was led to believe that things were going to get better. And not only was Moshe led to believe things would get better, I would say that from Moshe's perspective, he probably thought that if God says things are going to get better, they're going to get better very rapidly. And rapidly enough that that's it. This is the end of the story. And who would have thought that we have to go through 10 plagues and go through how much time elapsed? And that's part of what we need to understand. Now, there are certainly different elements of this. And one of the reasons there are different elements is because there are different players involved in the story. I mean, if I were to try to go through the cast, of course you have God, you have Moshe, you have Aaron, you have Paro, you have Paro's advisors, you have the Zakanim, you have the Egyptian people, and then you have the Israelites, the Jewish people. And the whole process of the Exodus may have different issues regarding the different players involved in this. And this is just something which we need to pay attention to at least a little bit. Now, let's go back to Moshe. Right? Moshe is one of our main protagonists. Although, again, admittedly, when we get to the Haggadah, Moshe is not even a player in it, which itself tells us something. But as we're reading through the Psukim, it sounds as if Moshe is one of the major protagonists. Moshe is a very reluctant savior. Moshe, of course, his great humility, we understand. You know, there's a halacha that most people don't understand or don't know. What's the halacha? The halacha is that if you're asked to be a shliach tzibur, right? You're asked to be a shliach tzibur, then you're supposed to say no the first time. You're supposed to, even the second time, say no, but hesitate a little bit, and the third time you should agree. And the world is basically divided into two people. Those who'll say yes before they're asked the first time, and volunteer and say, yes, I would like to daven, and then they would find some fictitious chiyuv that they may have. There are people who I suspect actually kill relatives to be able to say that they have a chiyuv. And then you have people that will say no no matter what happens. They'll say no the first time, the second time, the third time. I mean, personally, I know the halacha, so I shouldn't say this too many times if some gabe may hear it. But they asked me the first time, I say no. The second time, I say no. I never got to a third time. So I have a daven for the Amid for years and years and years because as I said, because I know the halacha. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu apparently knows the halacha also. So God says, I want you to be a shliach tzibur. I want you to go and take the people out. And Moshe says, no, who me? I can't do it. The better people. And the second time also. So now, and God does not seem to be terribly happy with Moshe's hesitation. Although, let's admit, okay, with no disrespect meant to God, and we'll try to get God's perspective in a moment, Moshe's humility is one of the things that makes him very attractive. It's, you know, who do you want as a leader? Somebody, again, who's jumping up and say, yes, I'll do it, even before he's asked? Or do you want somebody who does have this great sense of humility? So, and as I said, Moshe's humility only makes him more attractive to us. On the other hand, and I noticed this in a book of essays by Rabbi Soloveitchik on leadership between Yosef and Moshe, and he pointed out that when the Torah says Avraham, Avraham, or it says Yaakov, Yaakov, or it says Moshe, Moshe, that the trup is different for it. When it's Avraham, it says Avraham, comma, Avraham. So it's a father, God, calling his son, calling out, Avraham, Avraham, same thing, Yaakov, 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 with Moshe, there's no comma. It's Moshe, Moshe. So why? Because there's a burning bush. The bush is burning, or for that matter, when if a house is burning, you don't say, Avraham, Avraham. You scream, Moshe, Moshe. And that's exactly the issue, is that the humility, here's God's perspective. Humility is a wonderful thing. Who am I? Whatever. Can you imagine that you're a lifeguard and somebody's drowning? Who am I? I'm not really worthy. There are better people than me. But that's what's going on. The Jewish people are drowning. The Jewish people are in distress. The Jewish people are drowning, so that's not the time. That's not the time for humility. Which means, again, I'm going to say it again, Moshe's humility is something which impresses us and only makes him more attractive to us as a leader. On the other hand, God's perspective on this, and you hear, again, it's so clear now when you hear God screaming, Moshe, Moshe, you know, now is the time. So I want to go back to Moshe's perspective. Let's say that God is a good teacher, and let's say Moshe is a good student, and there is this sense of immediacy, right? We have to go now and save the people. The Jewish people are in distress. And Moshe goes, and things deteriorate. Instead of the situation getting better, it deteriorates. Now, if you're Moshe, you say, okay, what do you want from me? What is going on over here? And that's how last week's parsha ends, which the first source that you don't have, which is in Shmot, Perakei Pasukov Aleph, Vayomru Alehem. No, I sent it out to there are a bunch of people on the list. If anybody else wants to be on the list to get the sources beforehand, send me an email. I'm happy to put you all on the list. Anybody who asks, I will add you the list. You'll get it as well. You'll also not print it out and have responsibility. Vayomer Alehem Yerei Hashem Elokeichem Yishpot Asher Hivashtem Et Rechein B'nei Paro B'nei Avodav L'Teit Cherev B'Yodam L'Argenu Vayoshev Moshe El Hashem Vayomar Hashem Lama Harei Otam La'am Hazeh Lama Zeh Shelachtani. Right, again, things have only deteriorated. Things have not gotten better. Why in the world did you send me? So again, we understand. And God of course responds and says, and then Moshe continues, sorry. U'me'az bati el paril deber b'shemecha, heira la'am hazeh, v'hatzel lo yitzalta et amecha. That since I came to speak in your name, the situation has deteriorated, it's gotten worse. And saving them? You haven't saved your people. So, you know, what happened to this partnership? What happened to this deal that was supposed to be going on over here? So again, the basic complaint that Moshe has at this point is, I don't understand what's happening. The situation has not improved. Which really then leads us to the question that we have to ask. That's a really good point. Why did this have to be the way that things went? That's the only question I'm dealing with today. Why did it have to be that there had to be what we would call a Yerida before the Aliyah? Why did the situation have to deteriorate before it gets better? Because, you know, there's sometimes it could be that you don't appreciate how good things are until things come down a little bit, and then you can appreciate how good something is. They're rock bottom right now, which means they're in slavery. They've been killing their children. They've been torturing them. They've been beating them. Why would things have to deteriorate at this point? So that's the whole question that I want to deal with today. And whose question is it? It's Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Okay, so let's just realize. God's response is, which is the beginning of the parsha, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. By the way, that's the answer. Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Elokim said to Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. He says, I'm God. We'll have to understand how that's the answer, but that's the answer. Ve'erol Avram el Yitzchak v'Yaakov bikel Shakai u'shmi Hashem lo nadati lahem. And I was made known to the patriarchs, to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, as Kel Shakai, and my name of Yudke Vavke was not really known to them. So as I said, okay, we understand the question. The question is a really good question, not that, you know, we have to give credit to Moshe, but it's a really good question. It's the answer that we don't begin to understand what it is that God is saying over here. Let me make an observation, which will be the first part of the answer. As I said, things are actually going to be too easy today. You'll all be disappointed. It'll be much too easy. I'm not even going to confuse you along the way, at least not deliberately. There was something which was missing. If we go through the narrative, from the very beginning of Sefer Shemot, from the book of Exodus, until this point, there is something which is missing. And the question is, what is it? So remember I said that there were a bunch of different characters. Who are our characters? There's Moshe, there's Aaron, there's Paro, there's God. There's the wise men, advisors, the Jews, the Egyptians. Who's the main subject? The main subject are the Jews. The Jews are actually very quiet in the whole process. I say that they're subject, they're almost the object, but that's the whole context over here is how do we get the Jews out? But they have very little to do with the story. Which means the story itself, okay, is God acting as a ventriloquist, Moshe or Aaron doing the speaking, or for that matter, throwing things up or using the staff and doing all the miracles. But I'm saying it's God in the background. God is on the stage right behind the curtains over there, pulling the strings, and very clearly pulling the strings. To the extent that Chazal are going to tell us that it is, in fact, Moshe is not a player in this, because it's God really pulling all the strings over here. Paro is the one who even God is pulling those strings also, so that there is this very well orchestrated show going on. So if you want to tell me that the audience is the Jews, or is the audience the Egyptians, but the Jews just don't seem to be really a part of it, other than this mass of suffering souls that are there in the background. So again, there's something which is missing. So let's see if we notice what it is. In the very beginning, which means we go back to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Bet. So the book of Shemot began with telling us names. These are the names the Jews have gone to Egypt. And then it spoke about a new pharaoh coming up and this new pharaoh making decrees. And what I'd like to hear is what was the response of the Jewish community. So here the Torah will describe the response. And maybe now you'll begin to tell me what's missing, because there is something missing. V'kasher ya'anu oto, when they abused them, ken yirbeh, they increased. V'chen yifrotz, and they spread out. V'yakutsum b'nei b'nei Yisrael, and the Egyptians, they hated, they detested the Jews. So what was the Jews' response? What was their response? Should I help you? Should I pull teeth now? Should I be a ventriloquist? What was... I know that's what it says. Was that a planned response? Was that the planned response? Planned Parenthood. Our response will be, we will have more children. That's the response? Or is this telling us, despite the attempt to get rid of the Jewish people, it had the opposite impact? But I'm going to ask you again, what is the response of the Jewish people? When I say response, now Charlotte's going to help me soon. When I say response, I mean emotionally, spiritually, religiously. What's the response? What's the response that the Jews articulate? Yeah.
I don't think there was any response articulated. It's later on that they talk about that they were suffering.
Good. Let's take a look.
The response is we're trying to kill us. We're still not.
Well, so, yeah. Don't tell me what other people said. What is this? I want you to think.
I think it was an interesting idea.
Go ahead.
I was troubled with it, so I'm bringing it up, that this person and another teacher said that they assimilated, that they spread out and assimilated, that was one of the responses that was going on right there, that under this stress they were... I thought that was the opposite of what happened, but this is one of my
okay.
teachers said something about them
good.
Moving out.
I'm glad you didn't tell me who it is. I can't make fun of them. But this is actually an excellent point. Whether it was a response or not is not clear, but the religious state of the Jews at this particular point, at least as far as Chazal is concerned, was not overwhelmingly impressive. Which seems to be that there was a degree of assimilation. By the way, which takes us to a very simple point that if we have a chance, maybe we'll see Ramban a little bit later on. There's actually two questions which are interrelated. One question is, was it time for them to leave or not? Question one. Question number two, did they deserve to leave or not? And as I said, those are two related questions. Because it could be that it was the proper time and they did deserve to leave. It could be it wasn't the proper time and they didn't deserve to leave. It could be that it was the proper time and they didn't deserve, or they deserved and it wasn't the proper time. So you see that those are the various variables. If you want, go home. You can make a graph about this. And you can, those of you who need things to do with your time. Excuse me?
Chi-square.
Right, I'm saying. Okay, I'm sorry, I said graph. Okay, fine. So. Oh! Finally, they should have been praying. So that's exactly what I've been trying. I told him, trying to pull teeth over here. What praying, that's what I want you to look at.
Weren't they crying
out? Good. Let's take a look at every single time it discusses the Jewish people and see if it ever clearly says that they say, God. How do you say it in Yiddish? Eibishter. Zur Helfen. How do you say it? What? In Yiddish. How would you say it in Yiddish? I want it to be authentic. How would you say it? Good help. Help. Help us. Do something. Oi. Oi. Oi may be here. Oi is here. But again, let's take a look at the words right now and see what's here and what's not here. That's exactly what I wanted to get at. Vakashoya anu. Oto, when the Jews were abused, ken yirbe, they increased. Okay, so so it doesn't say anything about a response. It says it doesn't work. Again, you would think that we abuse them, loveless children. That didn't work very well. Why? Why didn't it work very well? Apparently, they still had kitzvot yiladim, and they still had incentives to have children. Anyway, vayavidu mitzrayim epnei Yisrael befarach, and the Jews were enslaved with befarach, with heavy labor, with vayimaru at chayehim. They made their lives bitter. Ba'avodah kasha, with heavy work. Bechom of levenim v'chol avodah besadeh. Et kol avdem asher avodu b'hem befarech. And it goes into detail. They enslaved them. This, that, the field, the house, this, the building, and everything is here except for one thing. There's not one word of response. And by the way, once I point this out, this just jumps up at you. See, you know, there's a Kabbalistic concept, which, if I'll translate into English, it means, does the awakening, hit araruta, the awakening, is it awakening from above or is it awakening from below? When we speak about a relationship with God, or go this way, relationship with God, where does it start? If you want, we could we can quote Heschel, just the title, nothing inside the books. I only know the titles. Is it man in search of God or is it God in search of man? Again, this is a Kabbalistic concept. Does the awakening begin below? Does the awakening begin below, above? Of course, we realize that even when the awakening begins below, it begins below because perhaps something that God did behind the scenes. But basically, is it God reaching out towards man or is it man reaching out towards God? And as we start to read the book of Shemot, we're totally, absolutely, 100% devoid of man reaching out to God. It's not there. So, if people are going to tell me that there are various midrashim, that the Jews assimilated, and so on and so forth, and then I would go back and say, okay, bring me proof. You're going to quote for me midrashim. There are midrashim that say they didn't do circumcision, they didn't do bris milah when they were in Egypt. There is this teaching that everybody knows, but I challenge any of you to find it, that it says that they sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Right? Somebody find it for me. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you'll have a hard time. That they sunk to the 49th level of Tumah, which means that, again, they're absolutely as low down as they can get. Okay, where does it say this in the Chumash? So the Chumash doesn't say anything. That's the reality. The Chumash doesn't say anything. And that's exactly the point. The Chumash doesn't say also what it should have said. What it should have said is that the Jews prayed. Prayer is in here. Prayed. Help me. Do something. Which means it's the silence which I think is really the argument comes from. And of course, we are much better finding evidence when it says something rather than when it doesn't say something, which is why you still need me. Yeah.
Well, we know that when God talks to Moses at the snap, then he says, Shemati Yitzhak HaBnei Israel. So we know.
Let's read. So far, we are in Perek, in Perek Aleph. This is the first Pharaoh, right? This new Pharaoh who doesn't remember. And as I said, it's just not there. They're worked, they're enslaved, there are more of them, but there's no religious response. You know, that's also the question. Yeah.
Their prolific behavior is an expression of hope.
Perhaps.
So that implies that they...
Very nice, perhaps. But wouldn't you be happier if it said something?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's nice. In Perek Bet, Pasukav Gimel, right? So now the king is dead. By the way, that is a time of hope. King is dead. Old ruler is gone. New ruler. New possibilities. Hope. And what happens? V'yenachu b'nei Yisrael min avodah. What does that mean? Now, Dr. Spiel, now is your oi. Now they krechs, right? And only old Jewish men know how to really do it properly. It doesn't work otherwise. You have to. It's 4,000 years of angst comes out in one krechs, right over here. V'enchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah. They. But what does v'enchu mean? Again, the word itself. What does it mean? They sighed. So I'm going to ask you again. What's missing here? Let me continue in the pasuk. Vayizaku. What does Vayizaku mean? They screamed. Now listen to how carefully the next phrase is written. Vata'al shav'atam elolokim min avodah. What does that mean? Their screams went up to God. Does that say they prayed or does that say that God heard? I'm saying it's... I know, but it's written in such an interesting way. Because how... Again, if I know my editor would not let me get away with this. It's written in a power of way. That's really what it is. It's written in a power of way. You want to say it clearly. What would you want to say clearly here? They scream to God. It doesn't say that. I'm just saying it's so... It says they scream. They screamed. It says... I know, look at the way it's written. It's amazing the way it's written. It's exactly, it's passive. The way it's written is what jumps out at you. But Yizaku, and they screamed. Vata'al shavatam elokim min avodah. It doesn't say vata'al, it doesn't say Yizaku elokim, it doesn't say they cried out to God. It says they krechs, they cried. Now again, I'm going to ask you again. Why did they krechs and they cry at this point? Because there was hope. There was hope at this point. Here was an opportunity that things are going to change. Here's an opportunity that now we're going to leave. And instead, forget about leaving. They didn't even fantasize about leaving at this point. Over here, there's a chance that our lot will be better. And instead, what happens? It doesn't get better. So that means it's that hope. It's that hope, and that's why the cry. But over here, we're told something that the cry makes its way up to God. Listen to the words again. Now, the next verse. So not again. Listen to the words. Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Vayishma Elokim es na'akatam. God heard there. What's na'akatam? Yeah, he heard their krechsing. He heard their moaning. That's not prayer. Correct, correct. God hears their moaning. God hears their krechsing. Doesn't say he hears their prayers. Vayizkor Elokim et brito et Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So what's God's motivation over here? I got it. Which means, again, I went back to this question. Do they deserve to leave? And what was the other possibility? It was time to leave. And now what do I realize? There's a third possibility. What's a third possibility? I'm contractually obligated. Not having to do with deserving and not having to do with time. What is it instead? God is saying, I have a contractual obligation to let them out because I made a deal with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that's all, and that's also fascinating because it could have, again, I'm just pointing out to you again, what could have it had said over here? That God heard their cries and God heard their prayers. Okay, that word could have been there. God. And by the way, is there praying in last week and this week's parasha? Is there any praying that takes place? Yes, there's a great deal of praying. All of it's done by Moshe. Moshe prays to God, stop beating up the Egyptians. Stop this. Every time God prays, stop doing this. Stop doing this. Do this. Stop doing this. Moshe keeps praying. It's not that there's no prayer over here. But Yatar Moshe Elokim, Moshe turns and prays to God. It's there. So we have a lot of prayer, but it just doesn't seem to be the right people necessarily praying. And even over here when it says God hears their krechsing and God remembers the covenant. Continue, Pasuk Kafei. Because if you thought that one was hard, Yehuda, 1 second. Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. And God sees the Jewish people. Ve'yeda Elokim. And God knows. Okay? Can I assure you again, my editor would not have let me get away with that? God knows. Period. By the way, that's the best way to end. God knows. You say, how do you finish the sentence? God is? Period. God is. That's the best way to finish the sentence. But if God knows, you look at it again. What do you mean? But you dial him and God knows. So over here, we have their prayers. If I'm going to be kind, I'll say incomplete. If I won't be kind, missing. But God hears it anyway. And God knows. And what does God know? We don't know what God knows because we don't know what's going on even. Yeah? Abba? Oh, empathy. Oh, good, good. We'll come back to that in a moment. Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. It's only making some difference if he's moving up the time because of the prayers. If it's a contraction, then we can, remember, so they cry. It doesn't make any difference. It gets the time it's supposed to.
Yes and no.
No.
That's the other. That exactly is the other point. It could be it's not time. It could be they don't deserve it.
Right.
But if I don't do it now, they won't be here any longer. And I have a contract. I got to take them out while they're still here.
Well, then of course, that is the time by definition.
No. It's not the time. It's not the time. No. I'm saying exactly the point. It's not the time. It's not the
contract calls for them to take them out. Okay,
but you want.
Therefore, it is the
contract 400 years. But anyway, you understand the point now is that everything is set up in front of us. God promised Avraham and Yitzchak, I'm taking them out. Or fourth generation. Why do you always look at the negative side?
If they void their side of the contract,
but it says fourth generation or 400 years. It does. It says, Dor Revi Yeshuv. Hey, no. No, 400. Dor Revi. And fourth generation. The Mechilta asks, which is it? It says there's a minimum, there's a maximum. Fourth generation, there's a maximum. It was built in, as all, 1 second. If you write a contract, you always build in something that is to your advantage that you can have a little wiggle room? Okay, so God wrote this contract with wiggle room. I don't know how you say that in Hebrew. Okay. Lawyers. So, this problem of Yeda Elokim is huge. Let's hold on to that for a second. When God then speaks to Moshe at the Sneh, and this is source number 5, Perek Gimel. Vayomer Hashem. This is right afterwards. Vayomer Hashem Ra'o Ra'iti Atoni Ha'ami Ashebim Mitzrayim. I've seen their pain. I've seen their suffering. I've heard their cries. But now, all of you who are wondering what the cries were, what did the cries say? What does that mean? I've heard their cries, which came from the beating, which means it wasn't cries towards me. It was again, on a much lower spiritual level. That's exactly what God says to Moshe at the Sneh. Ki yadati et machovav, and I know their pain. Which means, again, what's being communicated over here at the Sneh, everything is here except for one thing. That God says, I've heard the prayers of the Jewish people. You know why it doesn't say that? V'ata hinei tz'akat b'nei Yisrael ba'olai, the cries of the screams of the Jews have come to me. Again, You see how this is written in such a way, v'gam ra'iti et halachatz, and I've seen the pressure and so on. Everything is here except for one thing. And I'll say it again, what's the one thing which is missing? The vayeda, let's look at that for a second. Let's look at the vayeda. When it says, and God knew.
The communication exists even without words.
Let's go back for a second. The evidence that we have, and you can tell me it's flimsy, but I don't think it is. The evidence that we have is that the Jewish people have become something other than they were supposed to be. What I mean by that is, in a perfect world, the Jews should have gone into this society. You know, well, let me go back for a second. When Avram is looking for a place to go, when they have the famine, Avram deliberately goes down to Egypt, which is probably the most developed civilization at the time, and also the most morally corrupt civilization at the time. Avram's there 15 minutes, they try to grab his wife. Yosef is there 10 minutes, and the woman in the house tries to sleep with him. Which, again, it's a place which is morally corrupt. And later on in the Torah, keeps coming back to Egypt as a morally corrupt place. Avram deliberately goes there, and you can't help but wonder if Avram understands something profound. And that is, you know, this is basically high-stakes poker. If I can go and impact, you know, he made inroads at Haran. He comes to Israel, he's got followers, he has an entourage, people that are listening to him, people that he's changing. So you really want to change the world, what do? You go to Egypt, you go to the epicenter of civilization, you go to places which are most corrupt, and then you try to teach monotheism over there, and if you succeed, you've just now changed the whole world. Again, if you want to get into Avram's mindset, that becomes a thing which makes absolutely the most sense to do. For this exact same reasons, the Jews could be sent down to Egypt. The reason to go down to Egypt is because it's corrupt, because it's evil, because it's bad, and so on and so forth, which again, now we realize the greatness of Yosef, who withstands all of that pressure. The Jews go to this place, and what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to completely turn around the civilization. Instead, what happens? They are not respected, they are not loved, they are not listened to, and they're eventually enslaved, which means what happens to the Jewish experience in Egypt did not work out all that well. Again, I'm now speaking on a spiritual level. When we listen to these enslaved people, we hear no spirituality. We hear krechsing and we hear crying. And the worst part of it may not be that they're not crying out to God. The worst part of it may be that they themselves feel that they're no longer deserving of God listening to them. You know what I'm saying? That's much, much worse. Which means, why don't you pray? It's not because you don't know who to pray to. It's not because you don't know what to say. You don't think that you deserve for God to listen to you.
Do they even know God?
I'm even willing to say that they know God, but I'm saying the point is that if you don't think that you're deserving of God's answer, then you can't say anything because you've become embarrassed about who you are. Yeah. And children always listen to their parents, right? Correct. And so the promise is there; it's all there. But nonetheless, they feel that they're undeserving. And I'm trying to use this point to understand why it would be perhaps that they're not even bothering to cry, why they're not bothering to pray. Yeah. And why would this be? Because they are victims of abuse. Right, exactly. That's the point. That's the whole point. And they think they're undeserving, and they can't even pray. On these words that we saw before, those words which are so strange, Vayadalu, right? What did the pasuk say? Vayada Elokim. That was the end of source 4. God knew. Right. It's again. It's the Yadati. Correct. Did I bold it?
Yes, you did.
That's why. Look at source number 8. This is a Kabbalistic source called Bat Ayin. Today there's a Kabbalistic community, a Hasidic community called Bat Ayin, based upon this Hasidic Rebbe, and a clothing store. I think they closed. V'nochal lahavin inyan b'chinat dat al derech zeh. That the idea of da'at is the merger of chesed and gvura. Okay, if any of you ever heard of something called Chabad, right? So it's chachma and bina and da'at, which is right and left and center. It's merging together. But again, I have no interest in the later Hasidic manifestation of this. The way that he's saying this, it's chesed and gvura, din and rachamim, That is the merger together between the two of them. That's very important. Look at the Ramban now in source number 9. Again, this is on the words Vayadalakim. Vayar Elokim et Bnei Yisrael, Pirish Rabbi Avram, Kira, HaChamas, Shehi Mitzrim, Osim Lehem Galui, Vayadalakim, Asur Lehem Beseter. So one is public and the other is private. The Yada is God even knows what's done in private. That's according to the Ibn Ezra. Virashi Piresh Vayadalakim, Natana Lehem Lev, Velo Elim Eino Mehem. That there's special... that this God is giving special hashkacha. God is paying special attention to what's going on. And the Ramban says, then that's true in terms of, it's correct in terms of the simple understanding. And whenever the Ramban says that, you know you're in for something better right now, because when he says that's true in terms of pshat, you know he's going to tell you something else. Let me skip a little bit here. Next paragraph, al derech ha'emet, which is a euphemism in the Ramban's writings for Kabbalistic teachings, the al derech ha'emet, according to the true understanding, yesh b'katuv hazeh sod gadol misitrei Torah. One of the great secrets of the Torah is contained within it. Lomu ki ela inuyam lema'or panav v'karav otam el hadat. That their pain came up to God's lema'or panav, which by the way would be connected with chesed, and God brought them to Da'at. Ki'inyan b'kerev shanim teda b'regez rachim tiskor. U'lechein ya'aricha katuv b'zeh. Therefore the Torah goes into some detail. Acharei she'amar kvar v'yishma avra Elokim. After already said that God heard, v'yizkor Elokim, and God remembered. V'nitpareisha pasuk hazeh b'midosho shur v'yinechun yaben akana. Tavinehu misham. And if you look into the midrash of Nechun yaben akana, which is Sefer Bahir, then you will understand it. So very conveniently, we have in source number 10 here, Sefer Bahir, which is the Miuchas Rabbi Nechun Yaben Akana, in where it's underlined, V'yida Elokim, Mai V'yada, what did God know? Mashal Amad Davar Domeh, what can this be compared to? L'melech Shaita Lo Isha Na'a, a king had a beautiful wife, V'imid Mimenu Banim, and he had children from her, V'chivavam Ugadlam, and he loved them, and he grew them, as it were. He raised them. V'yetsu l'tarbut ra'ah. Nonetheless, they went off in a bad path. In today's world, they went off the derech. San'am v'sana imam. He then hated them, and he hated their mother. Chazra imam aleihem. Their mother came to the children. V'arma b'ni. Lama b'nai. Lama atem osim kach shavichem sone oti v'etchem. Why are you behaving like this, that your father hates you and me now? Ad shenechamu, till she brought them back, comforted them, v'chazru lasot ritzon aviyim, to do the will of their father. Re'ei avichem kach, ahavam kivatchila, v'zachar imam. And then the father loved them and loved the mother. Ahu dechtiv, and that's what it means, v'yar elokim v'yeda. And I hope that helped you somewhat. It's the whole thing, your anthropomorphism. If we're already going to be in a Kabbalistic situation, look at source number 11, and this is what my father said. Vida, and you should know, kimo v'yeda Elokim, when it says that God knew, v'yeda Adam. So it makes a parallel. So where is that v'yeda Adam? Where do we find that? So it just so happens to be, that there are actually a number of people who wrote commentaries on the Kabbalistic commentary of the Ramban. And as luck would have it, I have both of them here in source 12 and 13. One is Rav Yitzchak from Akko, and the other is the Rekhanati. And they both basically say the same thing in explaining what's going on over here. We'll look at Yitzchak from Akko first in 12. V'sod Yidiyah, the secret of Yidiyah that God knew. Milashon HaKatuv, V'yida Elokim, and V'yida Adam. Shehu Hamshachat Shefa Bracha. It's somehow the Bracha coming out. Rekanati v'galano katuv ki afal pishu b'yidat hadin yu chayavim ba ludonam ata gam b'tzirif harachamim. It brings it together. Let's go back a little bit. So I told you I'm not going to do anything complicated today, right? So let me try to explain this. If you look in source 15, did you see the book review? Nobody saw the book review. But David Weinberg wrote of my book. Because as luck would have it, the book review came out on the Friday of the storm. It was in the Jerusalem Post, but nobody got the Post that day. So, in Petach Tikva they got. So you got nachas, your friends called. Good. That's what it's all about anyway. So one of the things I was accused of was that whenever I teach, wherever I write, it always goes back to Gan Eden. So he actually called me or emailed me, and I responded. I said, well, did you notice the name of the book is Echoes of Eden? So... So over here in Gan Eden, we have a nachash, and it actually says regarding the first sin, Ki yodei Elokim b'yom ha'chachem, yitin kachim yodei tov ra. The word knowledge jumps out. After they eat from the tree, eitz hadat tov ra, knowledge, b'tuk b'chena enei shneim v'yed'u kerimim, and then they know that they're naked. V'yom ala avram yodei, oh, sorry, we didn't want to get to that one yet. After they leave Gan Eden, what does it say? It then says, and Adam knew his wife. It then says it again in Perek Dalid, again, and it uses the exact phrase which is used over here. The idea of knowledge is an idea of hitchabrut. Knowledge means, again, this is what they say, and Adam knew Eve in the biblical sense. What does it mean he knew her in the biblical? Well, of course it's the biblical sense. It's the Bible. I don't know. That Adam knew Eve, but the idea of knowing, it means that there's some kind of a connection. It's interconnectedness. There is a connection between the two. The most important word in all, what was it, and God remembered and God heard and God saw, v'yeda, is incredibly important. And again, especially when you realize this connection between Adam knew Eve and now God knows. That's what the Ramban was referring to, this beautiful mashal, that even though the Jews had become estranged, the whole idea of the mother over here is the Shechina, even though the Jews had become estranged, nonetheless, there's God reaching out from above and trying to create interconnectedness. Now, of course, the Jews at this point have no... I don't want to use... Yes, but why? Because intimacy, but why? I would have used the word intercourse if my parents weren't here, but I'd get in trouble. But why? Because the physical intimacy is a metaphor. See, that's the problem. Is people forgot. It's not just a metaphor. It's a physical expression of a spiritual connection. The problem is that people devoid it sometimes, occasionally, from the spiritual connection. So, and Adam knows Eve, is that there's an absolute connection between, and God knows, well, it's that silence which is so interesting, and God knows. It's God wants to be intimate with us again. God wants to create that connectedness. Now, of course, the whole question begins, okay, how do we create the connectedness when there has been something which has been severed? And what has been severed? Well, what happens in a relationship and the other doesn't feel they're worthy of your love? When the other doesn't feel they're worthy of your attention, when the other doesn't feel that they're worthy to even speak out to you, because that's what's going on over here. So we have over here God in search of man. So what is it that God does? So the first thing that God does is he sends Moshe and he goes and he says, and tell them, I'm taking you out. And you know what that did? It did something terrible. It took up their expectations. Again, we saw it happen once before. When did it happen before? When the old Paro died, the new Paro takes over, the expectations go up, but they couldn't even bring it within a conversation or a dialogue with God. All that it brought about was more krechsing. Oy. That's all that happened. Now, something else happens, and I just want to point out again, look at source number one more time. What's that first pasuk? Perikei, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. What does that Pasuk say? Anybody have an English translation here? Vayomer lehem Yirei Hashem Aleichem. Who's speaking? Who's speaking at this point? The Jewish leaders are speaking. What are they saying? Perikei Pasuk Kaf Aleph. I'll read to you whatever translation I happen to have here. And they said to them, the Lord look upon you and judge. Vayomalem Yirei Hashem Aleichem V'yishpot. Do you know what's remarkable about this Pasuk? They speak of God. God is part of the conversation from the Jewish leaders. The taskmasters are now speaking about God. That wasn't there before. This has been completely absent the whole time going through speaking about God. Moshe and Aaron come and speak to the Jews. He speaks to the Jews, they bring up the expectations, and then it crashes down, and now they can pray. And now they can speak about God. And now they can scream out, and they can say, what in the world is God doing? But now God is part of the conversation. What I said before, that there actually was a response of God, and we missed the response. V'yidaber Elokim el Moshe v'yomer elav ani Hashem. Elokim and Hashem are one. So what do we normal? What do we talk about? What is Elokim? Elokim is Midat Hadin. Is God is a judge. What is Hashem? It's God. It's Rachamim, Chesed. So what happens when you merge them together? That's what that's what Das is. That's knowledge. That's the two sides coming together. I've said this before. I can't find anyone else who said it, so it must be mine. I'll say it again now because it's very good. I wouldn't say that. I'm being objective. When Moshe comes down from the mountain, the whole golden calf, and after the whole thing, Moshe asks for something which is very strange. He says to God, let me see your face. And God says, no, you can't see my front, you can see the back. The Gemara then uses an anthropomorphism, and the Gemara says that Moshe saw the back of God. So what do you see when you see the back of God? He says he sees the knot of the tefillin in the back. And that's what we say in the Adam's Mirrors, Kesher tefillin hera'ah la'anav. The knot of the tefillin he showed to the modest one. Moshe sees that. So what happens when you see the front when somebody's wearing tefillin? When you see the front, so you see the two pieces of leather coming down, one on the right side and one on the left side. So one represents the right, one represents the left. One represents chesed, the other represents din. One represents God's compassion, the other represents God's judgment. And what happens when you see it from the front? You think that it's coming from two different sides. These are two different aspects. What happens if you really start thinking about it? You say this is completely psychotic, or God is schizophrenic. That God has a personality disorder. That, you know, what is God? Is God kind or is God strict? And how does this work? And then you see the back. What happens when you see the back? Because then the Gemara says, what does Moshe want to understand? The next page of the Gemara, one page it says that he saw the back of the tefillin. The other side says, what did he want to understand? Why bad things happen to good people? What did God see when he sees the back? He realizes that the right and left come from the same place, that they're intertwined and they come from the exact same place. And that's the kesher of the tefillin. That's the back. As I said, this is mine. If I can find someone else who said it, I'd be happy. But that's the kesher that's filling. It's understanding the unity between the right and the left, between the din and the rachamim. Over here in this pasuk, when it says, "Vaydeber Elokim Moshe Elav Ani Hashem," what does this mean? Things got worse. So what happens when things get worse? God is coming in, I'm going to save the people, right? God's compassion is coming in, I'm going to come and save the people, take them out. And what happens? Things get worse. So that's Midat Adin. So what is God saying? No, they both come from the same place. What does it mean they both come from the same place? The reason I made things worse is because of my compassion. One second. The reason I made things worse is because of my compassion. Why? Because I want them to feel dignity. I want them to feel that they deserve to leave. I want them to be partners in this. The Yeda Elokim. I want this intimacy with them. And the intimacy with them is so important, not for me. It's important for them. Because when you have a relationship with somebody who feels that they're inadequate, it makes for a very difficult relationship. The first step before they can leave, it can't only be a situation of God in search of man. There also has to be some situation of man being in search of God. Of man. And by the way, Moshe is that way. Moshe does search God. And at this point, I will say something different from what I saw Rabbi Soloveitchik say. Over here, it's very clear to me. Where does Moshe go? It says Moshe goes to Chorev. Where does Moshe go? Lahar Elokim. It says he's going, he brings his flock, Lehar Elokim. He's searching out God. He goes to the mountain of God. He is searching for God over here. Moshe searches for God, but the rest of the Jewish people are not searching for God. God then wants to create a situation that the rest of the people should also lift their eyes heavenward and start praying to God as well. And in order to do this, he does something which on the looks as if it's cruel. Things just now got worse. Things got worse. What kind of God are you? Again, midat adin, midat racham. What is going on here? Things got worse. And God says, I'm both. I'm both, and realize that when I act with din, when I act with judgment, my motivation is for this is actually compassion. My motivation is this because I want to bring them close together. Now, I didn't look enough, but I didn't find anybody making this point that I made directly. They do make the point a little bit later on. They make the point in next week's parsha. Let's look. It's expressed. I have it for you. Actually, first let me show you somebody who I think says it. Let's stop for 1 second. The only commentary that I think really says what I said. Let's look at sources 19, 20, and 21. They're going on the Pasuk, Perek Vav Pasuk Hei. Perek Vav Pasuk Hei was, if you want to see Perek Vav Pasuk Hei, it's in source number 7. It says, V'gam ani shamati et nakap b'nei Yisrael Hashem Mitzrayim avidim otam v'eskor et briti. Here, God says to Moshe, I remember, listen to what he says over here. First, the Sfornos, let's skip the Sfornos 19. Let's look at the Ibn Ezra 20. In 20, which is called the Pirush HaKatzar of the Ibn Ezra, he writes, V'od shalach ticha ba'avur she'tza'aku alai. In order that they scream out to me, or the way he says it clearer in the Pirush HaAruch, in source 21, V'gam od shalach ticha ba'avur she'asu yisro tshuva v'tza'aku alai. The reason that I've made things more difficult at this point is very specifically, I want them to do tshuva and I want them to call out to me. Again, Ibn Ezra understood everything that I pointed out till now. Till now, there was never calling out to me. There was calling out, there was crying, there was screaming, there was krechsing. But what was missing? Eli. Again, man saying, God, please, because you can only say, God, please help, if you think you're deserving of that response. Now, this concept that I'm bringing up is found, and we'll just look at it briefly. Let's look at the Mechilta in source 23. Mechilta refers to next week's parasha. Harubi Matanya ben Chorish Omer. Harehu Omer, right, he used to say, Harehu Omer, it says, Va'avur alecha ve'erecha v'hine ata imdodim posuk nicheskel. Higia shivuato shenishba kodesh baruch hu la'avram sheyigalit banav. The time had come, remember I asked you before, the Mechilta said the time had come for them to be saved. But they didn't have any commandments to do that they should be deserving to be saved. They were naked from all mitzvot. They were developed, the time had come, but they were naked. And what does the Mechilta say? Natana Kadosh Baruch Hu shtei mitzvot dam pesach v'dam milah shit asku bam kidei shigalu. God, again, this is part of the chesed that God gives them mitzvot that they can do the mitzvot so that they can feel that they're deserving to be saved. So we find that in terms of the realm of Torah, Am Yisrael, according to the way the Mechilta puts it, Am Yisrael feels that they are undeserving. Same thing you see in source 24. The Jews say, we don't have any mitzvot that we've done. And this teaching is actually found in source 26 in Rashi and Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Vav. And you can look at the way that Rashi formulates is also interesting, not for today. What the Mechilta is teaching us is that Am Yisrael felt they didn't have mitzvot to deserve to be saved. I'm going back one step before that. It's before having mitzvot to deserve to be saved, they didn't even feel they had the right to ask God to be saved. Forget about the right to leave. They didn't feel they can speak. So you don't even feel you can speak. God had to create a situation that Am Yisrael feels they can speak. And you correctly pointed out that that's abuse. Victims of abuse feel that they deserve it. They get beat up by the task that they deserve. I deserve to be beat up. Why? I didn't do what I was supposed to do today. That you get into the cycle of abuse, it's very hard to think any differently. And they crex and they cry out because they're being beaten. They cry out to the taskmaster. You go through the whole thing, you don't find one time that it clearly says that Am Yisrael turned to God and said, God, please help us. Or even better, God, you promised Avraham you're going to take us out. Or God, you promised you're going to take us to the land of Israel. When is this coming true? All of that is missing. And I think that that's what we see. God, and then Moshe says, what are you doing? And God, but now God is part of the conversation. Now the Jewish taskmasters are now speaking about God. Hold it. Let God be a judge. Which means God has now become part of the conversation. God now is part of the dialogue. At this point, they're able to pray. And that's what the Ibn Ezra points out. Now, God says, now something else has happened. Now they're going to pray to me. Now they're going to turn to me. And now we have a dialogue. Now we have a relationship. And then, as the next stage, God can give the mitzvot as well. And then they can feel that we deserve to leave because we did our mitzvah. And now you realize, by the way, this is the same thing as the child who you want. You want the child to have dignity. For any person, even the laws of tzedakah. What are the laws of tzedakah? What's the highest level of tzedakah? You give a person a job. You want to give them the money. No, but you give them a job. So why? That they can have dignity. That's the halacha. The idea of the korban pesach and the brit milah.
No, but here, what are you going to give them dignity?
And no, at this point, I'm saying this is the earlier stage. This stage is he wanted first to give them their mouths, the ability to speak. What did God do?
Yeah.
He made things worse. He wanted the complaints no longer focused on the Egyptians, the taskmasters, or even the Jewish people. Where does he want the complaints directed to? Send it directly to me. And that's the change that has taken place over here, that now God has become the focus. And again, those are the exact words of the Ibn Ezra over here. Which means I'm saying, before we can get to the point of the mitzvot, and to even feel that I need, what you realize over here, if God is trying to give the Jewish people dignity, so what's really going on over here? God is working on this relationship. And this is the idea of Vayada Elokim. This is the idea that God knows. Is that is this situation of dat, to create a relationship, an intimate relationship between God and the Jewish people, and that relationship will become more and more intimate as we get towards Har Sinai. But these are the stages, as I said. The Jewish people are also a player in the whole idea of leaving Egypt, and sometimes we ignore them, and they just become, you know, the side point of it. Let my people go. So they're just the people that have to go out. But they also need to go through some kind of a change and a shift over here, because it's hard to be a slave for a very long time, for generations upon abuse, and not to feel after a while that maybe I deserve to be abused. What God did is He used, as I said, a great deal of, I mean, I'm not going to say God used wisdom, because that's a little silly for me to say. I'm going to say that what we pay attention here, we realize the process which is taking place, where God tries to give us our dignity, and that ultimately is the most important thing that we can give to another person.